Hello and welcome to Roster Doctor, where we fix up your roster. Today I'm joined by Faustine, who made it into the top 16 of the Tabletop Simulator League Season 3, which is always a mouthful to say. And we'll get into this more in a second, but you're, as far as I know, the only person who submitted a triple affiliation roster. Whether that's a name only or in actuality, we'll get to in a second. But how's it going, sir?
Hello, I am doing really well. How are you?
Good, good. Excited to go over this list. There's been a lot of people hyping up both Strange and Ghost Rider in Avengers, which, spoilers for our listeners, if you didn't already see the episode title, this is a combination of Avengers, Defenders, and Asgard. And I guess before we get into the details of it, I'm assuming that you were functionally playing this as mono or duo affiliation, but not actually triple affiliation. Is that correct?
Yeah, to a large extent. So I actually have the restrictive caveat of that every list I play includes Ghost Rider, which kind of bends this entire roster build around that particular fact. So there's only a few like levels at which I'll play Asgard or Avengers, but primarily it is a Defenders affiliation setup.
Yeah, so I guess without any further ado, let's just get into it, starting with the characters. Captain America, Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, Hela, the Soul Gem, Loki, Taskmaster, Thor, Vision, Wong. And so, like I mentioned in the preamble, I think Doctor Strange and Ghost Rider really like being able to cheapen their abilities. You've got a good Avengers core with Cap, Thor, Vision at 13. Yeah, I can do math right on the fly. And then Wong rounded out to 15 in a pinch. Add Loki at 17 if you really want, but you can also do similar stuff with Defenders. You've got lots of nice little 13 or 15 point packages for them as well. And the glue that really brings it together is Taskmaster, who I think fits the kind of catch-all... What's the name of the actual ability they have?
Rogue Agent, I believe. Yeah,
Rogue Agent is the catch-all affiliation glue to help give you better options. And I think he fits in very well with Avengers, not only because he has a reactive superpower to being attacked, but he's a natural frontline tanky character, and I think Avengers is really good at putting just a bunch of tanky frontline characters on the board together. So yeah, I don't have any out of the gate like, why is this here? Or like, why isn't this here questions. Like, the closest thing I can see is I would have loved to see Valkyrie squeezed in, but
we'll get to that. Trust me, that was Taskmaster versus Valkyrie was the biggest decision I made going into modifying my roster for the top 16.
Yeah. So, but before we get into that, real quick, how similar is this roster to what you played in the qualification rounds? Because I did not do enough archaeology for this episode.
So, I mean, this was post-cut, or post-change. There was the first week, 3 weeks, where I wasn't allowed to play Ghost Rider, and I don't even remember what I played. I think I just played some generic Avengers.
Defenders weren't even legal then, yep.
Yeah, but then as soon as Ghost Rider was up, I think I pretty much universally played this build, with Taskmaster being swapped out for Valkyrie, and obviously without having the restricted banned cards, there was some tactics changes as well.
Yeah, so why don't we actually get into the tactics real quick? So this is post-banned and restricted. You have Advanced R&D, Avengers Assemble, Brace for Impact, Extreme Conditioning, Field Dressing, Mark for Death, Seven Sons of Cinnabis, and Sibling Rivalry, which are all solid cards. The one standout to me here is Extreme Conditioning. I think a lot of people really got on board the, what's it called? the climbing gear train over it, because climbing gear is effectively a bonus action, whereas extreme conditioning is only upgrading an action that you have to spend, unless you have advances built in. And I guess I haven't played it enough in Avengers, but does it really help turning your mediums into longs here? Or
yes. So the extreme conditioning was basically I dropped drop off and put in extreme conditioning because of the banned list. That was one of the primary changes. And weirdly enough, it's used in only, I'd say maybe two characters use it. Ghost Rider uses it to get two long moves if he has enough power. Or, and this is where I actually opened in my first game in the cut with it, is extreme conditioning on Strange with his range 4 attacks allows him, even on like gamma shelters, to hit enemies on the back objective if they play a little too far forward. Like if they go range 1 forward, Strange can just fly up with extreme conditioning and tap an opponent with the first attack using that long move. And that's an attack a lot of people don't expect on turn one from him, which also comes with his free push, which is not necessarily as good as a Sherry push, but it's some damage and a potential push. It could do a lot of work.
Yeah, and being able to pull with it is a huge upside. Also, I went and double-checked this because I wasn't sure, but Seven Sons of Cinnabis, for those of you who haven't played with it before, it checks whether he has two non-dazed allied characters within range 2 of him. He can move between that check and paying for the card and doing the actual Cinnabis attack. So you can actually pay for the card, then pay for extreme conditioning, move long to set up the perfect beam in some really wacky place, and then do that. Though I think that's going to be very edge case.
Yes, that would be what a 5 power investment or 3, 4, 5 power investment. That's a lot to work with, but Soul Strange in the right, against the right opponent can easily hit those heights.
Yeah, I haven't played a ton of Soul Strange outside of some Portal shenanigans games, but I've played a decent amount of Soul Thanos, and ooh, once the soul gets going, it can be really filthy, and you can just tactics cards become free for that character. A lot of the time. So if you desperately need it, it's there, which is interesting. And then, so I notice you don't have Odin's Blessing here, which leads me to believe that you're never intentionally playing Asgard as we, talked about, but, sibling rivalry stayed in. How often are you playing Thor plus Loki?
If I'm playing Asgard, that's the core. It's always a Thor plus Loki pick. It's also, that was basically what I was running during, not Elims, but the round robin, was Thor, Loki, Vision, and Cap. So, like, I've gotten very used to playing sibling rivalry. A guaranteed stagger is really effective against any affiliation that isn't hard.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of times also repositioning Loki feels real good. So it stuck in there because it was something I was comfortable with, not necessarily because it was something I expected to play.
Yeah, I use sibling rivalry religiously with drop off in my Cabal roster, all the time. It's an incredibly powerful card. I haven't done enough testing to know where it stands after drop off, but automatic stagger is just so good. It's definitely worth trying to fit in if you're playing something where either Thor or Loki are affiliated. Ideally both if you're playing Asgard. And then so for Defender-specific cards, you aren't taking Portals and you aren't taking the Mists. Why Seven Sons versus those two, I guess? Because I'm assuming that you're only putting one slot in for specifically Defenders, right? I guess Seven Sons is the least restrictive because it's technically not affiliated. It's just Strange required.
Yeah, which is actually kind of funny because I don't think I run Strange outside of Defenders in this build. Were I to go down to 2 affiliation, which is probably what I would do like in a non just for funsies game, I would cut Avengers Assemble and put in the Portals card, and probably cut Cap in favor of like Valkyrie maybe. But like, it's Seven Suns is definitely just it's such a powerful card when you get it off. I think two of my round robin games were basically won by Seven Suns, just amazing plays where I was able to like two shot characters with it. And since Strange doesn't natively have a beam, getting one, especially with such a potent range, really helps him if he's in a situation where he's being outnumbered or he just needs to absolutely wipe an objective in one activation.
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of Seven Suns, and it's a very potent card, and I think anyone taking Strange should seriously consider it in their eight. But with that, let's move on to Crises. So for your extracts, you've got Fear Grips World is Worthy Terrorized Cities, Struggle for the Cube Continues, and the Monacy Formula Found. For secures, you've got Cosmic Invasion, Black Order Descends on Earth, Demons Downtown, Has Our Comeuppance Come Due, and Infinity Formula Goes Missing. The number one standout thing to me here is that you're playing Demons Downtown, but not Gamma. Is there a particular reason why you aren't looking to set up the E-Force on your secures?
So for me, it's more so that and this actually is what happened, is that I knew that going up against Wakanda, I don't win on Gamma. There's not really a list comp, I think, that I have that does well against Wakanda on a Gamma Shelters game, so I'd rather have played something that wasn't. Mm-hmm. Demons Downtown is not so favorable for them because those incinerate tokens aren't great for them. They don't feel good pushing me off of Demons Downtown, but they feel great pushing me off Gamma.
Yeah, and I knew going in only costing or giving one VP is also a huge difference for the Wakanda team.
100%. So that was more just a sort of reaction to what I expected to face, and that's exactly what ended up happening, funnily enough.
Yeah, I think that was definitely a good meta choice. I think like almost half the field was Wakanda, which kind of felt like out of nowhere. I definitely thought Wakanda was good, but I didn't think it was going to be this popular, especially because if you look at it, there was like two Cabal players. I was one of the two Cabal players, which compared to season two, I think like literally everyone in the top eight was Cabal. And like 13 of the 16 were Cabal, or there were some crazy figures. Maybe it was just MODOK, but yeah, it definitely felt like a sea change. I expected also a lot more Web Warriors and Defenders, and while there were decent amounts, there weren't a ton. But yeah, definitely good meta call on protecting against Wakanda. On your extracts. I generally like them. They're all good aggressive extracts. No Shape Force there, but yeah. Are there particular ones you try and force here, or is
well, it? And this is actually what I was hoping for. Montezzi is what I wanted to get on Gamma Shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Because it keeps us in that center lane, and it means that because normally Wakanda is going to go five wide on Gamma Shelters, and they're going to go pick up like side extracts and then come in towards the middle, and it's hard to compete with that. Mm-hmm. But if you play Montezzi, you restrict their ability to score so badly that they have to slug it out with you, and my list I knew was a better slugger list than most Wakanda lists would be, so that was kind of what I was hoping to get. Unfortunately, when I drew in, I drew Worthy and Cube, and so I didn't get the scenario I'd hoped for. But that was like basically Montezzi was the situational, like, oh, I'm going to get beat on this objective. Let's do a center game where I can just hammer on people. And Worthy and Cube are just great, you know, picks for a list that includes things like Rider or Thor, where they want to just do tons of damage in one activation.
Yeah, this is just a great aggressive extract collection in general, I feel. Auto damage from cubes is cash money. The beams from Montesi Formula, you can do great things with them with most of your characters. And hammers is the generic, you want to have more attack dice? Cool. Well, with that, why don't we just kick on over into talking about particular threat. So starting with 15 threat, what is your just bog standard blind, I'm going to play this at 15 threat, unless something weird's going on, team?
So it would be a Soul Strange, Rider, and Vision.
Okay, so you're playing three characters at 15, and trying to force priority there. How valuable is the priority in that team? I haven't played that particular character combination before, so I don't know how much they like to take advantage of priority.
Well, honestly, if I have priority, I'm not playing 15 threat. That's actually more if I lose priority and get forced to play like Gamma Shelters.
I more mean because you're probably going to start getting priority from round two on.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a beater list, so getting priority is important so that I can just take out activations as quick as possible. Usually, Ryder is the first to go because he's going to threaten lower threat characters and ideally take one to two out every activation.
One to two lower threat characters every activation. That is a tall order. Are you reliably achieving that goal? That's very impressive.
Yes. Yeah, he's Ryder's a beast when it comes. Like, Shuri cannot do anything to Ryder once he gets in. Okoye, and I'm talking like two to threes. So there's some fours who can trade with Ryder reasonably well, but I found a lot of times what's really effective is having Ryder go up against like Miles and Shuri, or even occasionally I've had him go up against like Valkyrie and Valkyrie and Spider-Gwen. He went up against once and won that trade off too. He can punch higher threat as long as the opponents he's facing are individually weaker than he is.
Interesting. So something I notice about your roster is you have a lot of fours. So instead of Vision, you could have Loki or Hela or even Cap if you wanted. Are there any situations where you see losing Vision for one of those three here?
At 15, probably not, because Vision and Defenders is such a beater. Just constantly Mystic Beaming, occasionally throwing somebody. He's also a great power battery. He kind of fills that role in where he's going to do a lot for me by just kind of existing on the field.
Mm-hmm. Very, very tanky, great damage output once he gets situated. Great throw. He's the ideal four in my view. Got to kind of hit that standard or better. I'm so tempted by Loki. Have you ever tried Loki in Defenders? Because you can get the Frost Beam that'll hex and slow people. But it's such a low power. I don't know if that actually...
Yeah, so I have two issues with Loki and Defenders. I tried Soul Strange with Loki, thinking like, hey, every time my opponent uses a superpower, they have to pay one extra and I gain a power. It's like a two-power swing. And in three games, what ended up happening was that my opponents just didn't use superpowers, which sounds good, but Strange is so power-hungry with all of his abilities that it ended up actually hurting his ability to do things on the field more than I felt like it hurt my opponents. Plus, Loki being flipped basically means your opponent no longer has to clear X. They just get the actions, basically, because his aura is going to do the same thing anyway. So, like, your beam your Mystic Empowerment becomes far less useful when Loki is flipped. And you want to flip Loki early in almost all games. He kind of clashes and conflicts. And you can say the same thing about Vision in the sense of, like, Synthezoid Avenger doesn't really play well with Hex. But I generally find that Vision is more sitting in the middle as a turret, just using his zero cost as a Mystic and throwing people, but ever using his big attack.
And you mentioned this a bit earlier about how power hungry Strange is. Do you ever see yourself going four wide here at 15 with like Strange, Ghost Rider, Wong, Taskmaster?
That's actually what I did in my game, first round game against Wakanda, because I knew they were going to be so wide. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely an option that you have to consider when you're going up against something you expect to face at 15 with a lot of bodies. But ultimately that didn't pan out. I don't think it was a bad list or a bad choice. I think it was the best choice I could have made under the circumstances. But it's a rare choice, not one you ideally want to make. Had I had Montezzi, I still probably would have gone 3.
Yeah, so what ended up being the exact crisis combination? I'm assuming Gamma, but what was your half?
I'm getting Worthy, because I had the choice between Worthy yep. and Cubes, and I was like, Cubes is more scoring, whereas Montezzi, or whereas Hammers at least maybe allows me to potentially beat down. Yep. And it did work out pretty favorably in some ways, but it just the amount of points they get so quickly just ended up winning them the game.
Yeah, Wakanda's the king of the fast score. It can be really brutal if you don't do enough damage to actually be able to force an attrition win out in the later turns, in my experience. There's definitely times where I've played Wakanda players, and it's like bottom of round one, I'm like, can we get a re-rack? Because I screwed up so bad.
Yeah, it's definitely troublesome. It's not the match I wanted to play for sure, but that's just the way everything kind of played out. Now the funny thing is, as we're talking about this, you asked me about would I go 4 wide. That list I just described plus Soulstone is actually what I play at 16. Funnily enough.
Yeah. So let's move on over to talking about 16 threat. So 16 threat, you have to be playing Cosmic Invasion or Witnesses. I keep on thinking there's a 16 extract, but there's not. So no matter what, you're playing either a D-split secure, which is the one that you've intentionally got in your secures, or you're playing the new C-split, which is a very fascinating game to play. I've been playing a lot of it recently just because it's so weird. But so on that, you like playing 4 wide. Presumably, Wong stays home as the cheerleader, but how do you split the remaining 3 characters along the flanks?
So basically, I've got Soul Strange, I've got Rider, and I've got Taskmaster. Strange and Taskmaster are going to go one direction, while Rider goes off against another, like a weaker set of opponents on the other side. It's kind of the game plan there. And what that allows me to do is it allows me to use that combo where Strange buffs Taskmaster's defense, allowing him to basically become an uber tank. While Ryder picks off smaller enemies and Wong just sits in the back and is a power battery and a VP battery.
Yep. Yeah, I really like that combination. There's nothing honestly super amazing standing out as like possible alternatives. Maybe like Cap, Strange, Vision, Taskmaster or something along those lines, but
that assumes you're not me and you'll allow yourself to not play Ryder.
Well, you could play Ryder in place of Strange there. Cap, Strange, Vision, Taskmaster.
Yeah, that's definitely an option.
Though, then you're kind of... You're trading Wong and Strange for Cap and Vision, and I'm not sure how that pays out on a D scenario, because now either, like, Taskmaster or Cap has to be your, like, back cheerleader character on the home D.
There's also something else worth noting about specifically the Cosmic Portals, the Black Order one, is that push that gives you 2 power actually benefits Ryder versus harming him, because you're going to essentially guarantee your 3 for your long move. I didn't realize it until I was playing in the league that was so potent, because I was sitting on an objective with Ryder and he kept getting pushed off and it didn't do a thing to him, because he just could zoom right back in and actually make up the difference and more with every single one of his long moves.
Yeah, it essentially costs him -1 power if he has to move and +2 if he doesn't. So kind of a win-win there. Why don't we move on to 17? So you've got a lot of 17s. You've got 2 in your extracts. You've got 1 in your secure. So I'm betting you've put a lot of time into thinking about your 17 threat roster. What's your go-to here?
Yeah, ironically, I've only got two rosters that I actually play at 17. My Golden Boy roster is Soul Strange, Ryder, Wong, Vision.
Seems solid. And I think we've kind of talked about Vision versus Loki or Hela or Cap at this point, so that's pretty much straightforward. Any thought to Asgard or Avengers rosters at this threat value?
Asgard, not yet, but Avengers is actually my second one, which is Cap, Thor, Taskmaster, Ryder. I think that's another solid list if you actually expect to get outbeat. So if I'd gone up against like Black Order, for example, I probably would have gone with that list instead.
Yeah, it's very beefy. It's very fighty. Cap can help keep Ghost Rider alive longer. Cheapening Wicked's judgment is super valuable, because once it starts costing one, you make it so people really don't want to attack you.
Yeah, basically the whole idea there, turn the Black Order's plans on its head, where they, if they're going to attack you, I'm going to use Cap to redirect away from Ghost Rider, so Ghost Rider gets free power. Every time you attack Cap while he can bodyguard, Ghost Rider can immediately Wicked's Judgment any damage you do or any crits you do back every time. So it's just like this really nice wombo combo if your list is focused on beating things.
I forgot about Spirit of Vengeance. That's such a nasty combo with Cap. Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I've got to get more Avengers Ghost Rider on the table. The more I'm listening to you on this, the more I'm like, yes, yes. even though you're more talking about the Defender side of it, the Avengers side just looks so appealing.
Yeah, it's a really fun, like, that's why I kept it in partially, is because it's just such a fun niche, like, application that against certain builds, it does really well. It doesn't do well, unfortunately, against objective-focused runs, because you really do want people to be attacking you to make that effective. If they're going to status you up or, you know, not try to, or deal damage at like range, it's not nearly as effective.
Yeah, and especially if they're focused on like throwing and pushing you around rather than attacking you. Yeah. It's like all the beautiful points of the list kind of get overshadowed by the fact that you're thrown and pushed into a corner. Ghost Rider can undo that with Hell on Wheels, and Thor can kind of bypass that with his charging ability, but it's going to be super painful for the rest of your roster, or the rest of your team. Actually, circling back real quick, what's your kind of go-to five tactics cards that you're looking to play? I'm assuming Seven Suns, Field Dressing, Brace, Extreme Conditioning, Advanced R&D.
You got it, 100%.
Yep. And then Marked for Death only comes in against Web Warriors or something really wacky, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I saw some Web Warriors list with double stealth. I wanted to make sure I had a response to that. That said, it's Miles is one of my favorite targets for Ryder because, oh, hey, you're at range 3 is stealth. Range 3 is also where every single one of Ryder's abilities is actually able to trigger.
Yep.
So getting up close and personal with Miles is something that Ryder wants to do anyway. So I don't necessarily feel bad about not taking if I'm just dealing with a Miles Morales. But like if I see Miles and Widow in a list, I'm definitely going to be taking Marked for Death just to be sure that I can take out somebody as needed.
Yeah, the rerolls and setting them to slow unshakably is also so good against all of Web Warriors. But Miles in particular, because he's got spider senses. So it just shuts down literally everything good about him.
Yeah, unfortunately, the famous thing is I can just pay one power to do that because of Mystic Empowerment. But if I wasn't playing Defenders, again, that would be
I completely
be a
forgot card. That it... Yeah, no. I'm so used to pretty much having to hit him with energy or physical that I completely forgot you can bypass it. God, that's just so filthy. Yeah, the Web Warriors players must be super glad they dodged you, because I don't think a lot of people are playing Ghost Rider with tech on top of it to just completely ruin their day.
I'll say this, if anyone watched our game, then they would absolutely have been scared, because turn one, Ghost Rider drove up, Mystic empowered a whip into Miles and one shot him.
Whew. Yeah, I've done similar things with Murloc into Panther. Mystic attacks are not pretty on targets that are like super heavily indexed on tanking physical and energy.
That said, I haven't really thought about how I'm gonna deal with Magneto yet.
Oh, he's a tough customer. He kind of reminds me of like what I wish Ebony Maw was.
Yeah,
he does a lot of similar things, but just better.
Yeah, they took Ebony Maw, dialed him up to 11, and gave him one threat, and it was like, all right, this guy is that's horrifying. The only thing you don't get is shh. But I don't know if that's necessarily a huge loss.
Bit of a side note, I totally want to try Magneto in Defenders. So that you can Mystic Empower his AoE bomb thing. Just like,
you know that Jack Nicholson meme where he's nodding the yes thing? I'm doing that right now. Now you're thinking like me.
But that's going to be so painful. Strange at 5 or 6 if you're taking Soul, plus Magneto at 6. And then, like, you actually have to build a team around that? Just
throw in Rider. Just go 3 wide on, like, 18 threat. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but then what happens when they force 15? Well, then I guess you play something else entirely, but...
You don't play that list.
Yeah. Okay, well let's move on to 18 threat real quick. So this has to be hammers or spider people portals. But so no matter what, you're playing on a D scenario here. So you've ideally got to have a three-pronged approach to how you're playing this. What's your go-to here?
So this is the only level at which I play all three affiliations. My go-to here is usually Cap, Thor, Vision, Rider. So like that generic Avengers plus awesome build. Just because it has the most flexibility with all the throws that are built in and everything else. I have three solid choices for hammer pickups. The spider portals don't affect them terribly much. So I think that's the safest bet there. But I do have rosters for both of the other affiliations as well.
Yeah, so let's go through those actually real quick. What's your typical Asgardian roster? Presumably you've got Thor, Hela, Loki, but how do you fill out the remaining five?
Rider.
Fair enough. I should have guessed that. And then what's your Defenders go to here? Strange Soul, Ghost Rider.
Thor Wong
and Vision.
No, Thor Wong in that scenario, it's Thor Wong, because I really want just multiple. Again, I'm expecting to play hammers more than anything else at 18. I need three beaters. Mm-hmm. Soul Strange with a hammer is horrifying. Thor with a hammer is horrifying. Rider with a hammer is horrifying. Especially if you can get off like Strange's big attack. Not necessarily Seven Suns, because that's super expensive, but like Thor with the hammer, who can Mystic Empower his hammer, his for Asgard strike is just terrifying for your opponent. Rider using a 0-cost 7 dice energy attack at range 3 is terrifying. Like this 18 threat isn't one of the ideal scenarios for me, because I can just build an absolute beater of a list.
Yeah, lots of beef, lots of heavy hitters. I mean, you've got to be feeling great when you're taking three characters that are 5 cost or greater. So I'm actually looking through this right now. Can you even, yeah? Have you considered any of the 5 wide rosters here?
Given that I play Rider, probably not.
I think it's mutually exclusive here.
and that does tend to be like, there are plenty of times where I wavered on my resolve to play Rider every game. because I was like, oh man, there's like this really interesting build I can do. Like one of the four wide rosters I was interested in doing in this was like Cap, Thor, Soul Strange, Taskmaster as an Avengers build. That seemed really cool. Cap, Strange, Wong, Vision, Taskmaster. I was like, that's an awesome Avengers build. There was one point at which in my madness I considered Cap, was it Cap, Wong, Taskmaster, Vision, Rider, and that was a five wide. It was Avengers, and it was insanity, but I couldn't justify it because there's only two beaters in that list. So there's not a lot of great hammer pickups. Like, Cap doesn't really want a hammer. Tasky kind of wants one, but, like, not super bad. I'd rather have three characters who benefit from it than just two.
I feel you.
Like, if I had Valkyrie and I wasn't restricting myself, maybe then I would be, like, Cap, Rider, Wong, Vision, Valkyrie, because then there are still three characters who want to pick it up, but it's just, it's hard.
Yeah.
With it, how it is now.
Yeah, you've got to think out your hammer picks. You're probably only going to get two, but if your opponent plays really coy, you'll take all three, and you'll make them pay for it.
Yeah, beating down a hammer bearer on turn one, or no, maybe not turn one, but turn two is not very difficult for those lists that I suggested at the beginning. So that's why I usually expect to get three hammers.
Yeah, once they're set up to double attack, you'll truck someone. Let's move on to 19 threat. So this has to be Demons Downtown or Evacuation. So either center column, attrition focused, or you're playing a fast scenario where people are trying to cash in extract tokens. What are you looking to play here? Just kind of default.
So Soul Strange, Rider, Thor, Taskmaster.
Yep, that's exactly what I expected. Take your three strongest characters, take the gap filler you need. Any thought to taking Wong so you can upgrade Taskmaster? Taking Wong to turn Thor into... I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh, I think I just had a total brain fart. For some reason, I thought you had two threes, but I'm going crazy.
Sometimes I wish I did. Sometimes I wish I did.
Yeah, spoiler alert, but that's going to be my suggestion for character changes is fit Valkyrie in. I think that makes total sense, and I think you can play a great Avengers team here with Cap, Thor, Soul Strange, Vision, if you don't want to go the Defenders route.
Yes, 100%. If I wasn't restricted by Ryder, that would probably have been the choice at 19.
Yeah, you can do...
You can't change out Thor for a Rider in that list, or you lose your affiliation, unfortunately. Yeah, no. Like,
you can do just, Cap, Thor, Rider, Wong, Taskmaster. But that's honestly less sexy, in my opinion, than the Soul Strange Vision version.
I can't disagree.
So... When you're playing such a low model count on, what's it called? On Demons Downtown, that essentially means your team's going to be pretty reliably incinerated. Have you put much thought into trying to play Asgard specifically when you play Demons, just so that you can shake the incinerates as you go?
I actually don't go for the portals early on with this. Yeah. And then I just come in with the beat, because it is a beater list again. I come in with three beaters and just hammer down. Taskmaster is the only character I don't mind having an incinerate on, or potentially Strange, just because of Hoagies. You know, both of them, but if the incinerate doesn't matter too much, as long as Soul Strange can sit there and Hoagies them. Yep. Rider and Thor, on the other hand, never want to be incinerated in this list.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to ask about that because, like, a lot of these times you're only running three or four characters, which means, like, at least half your team, if you're going to try and, like, play for home and mid, you're going to be having two characters in center. And what do you pick?
I pick nothing.
Yeah.
More
That's a
or
much smarter play.
Yeah.
Moving on to 20 threat. So at this point, it has to be alien ship, which means the extract's probably dead. Who knows how live the secure is? What's your go-to here? At this point, you basically have to run a five character roster. I don't think there's a possible four character roster. No, there has to be one.
I do have a lot of expensive bodies, but I think I do run five for what it's worth. Soul Strange, Rider, Wong, Vision, Taskmaster is my go-to 20. For I think reasons we've discussed before, it should be pretty obvious. It's just such a I can play the, I can play Wong on a safer point. Vision can go be a turret on his own. Task and Strange can run up and fight the center while Rider just eliminates whatever I feel he needs to eliminate.
Yeah, I think that's solid and do you ever consider playing Solas here to squeeze out an extra point just because it's so wide?
Not necessarily in this, like there may be an Avengers build where I consider going soulless with him. But it's a rare one, I think.
Yeah,
Like I
you're
think
one
Cap
point off
Thor.
from being able to do like Cap, Thor, Ghost Rider, Soul Strange.
Right? Like Cap, Thor, Strange, Wong, Vision might be a 20 that I'd consider without the Soul Stone because the discounts make it so valuable. But that's a toss-up. It's between that build could also just just include Rider is basically what ends up happening because I like Rider more. But I think that choosing to go that route, like if you're not restricted, was is probably a solid choice at 20.
Yeah, I think that's definitely kind of the right way to go with this. Lots of interesting options at 20. I always love the top heavy rosters where you've got lots of like fours and really good fives. And like once you get up to that high point level, you can just drop a bunch of them and be like, my bodies are best in class. Good luck.
Basically, that's how it does feel a lot of times when you're playing, especially playing in like Defenders has such great options for its fives. Avengers has great options at four, and I think Asgard's got great options all around. So like being able to flex in any of those characters means you're always putting in characters who are like top tier for their threat value. There's very little wasted threat with these three affiliations.
100% agreed. With that, we'll move on to the next segment, which is scenario discussion. So, I'm just going to go through three crisis combinations. We're going to talk about if you had priority, what threat you would choose, and then what team you would play for both threats, whether you got the priority or not. So, first off, we have alien ship plus Fisk vows to find witnesses. So this is a double C. It's got to be 20 or 16. I'm just fascinated with witnesses. I've been playing a lot of it recently. It lets you play a lot of the weird stall games that Morgan Reed's been popularizing with his Black Order in the top 16, where he'll force a D split, try and go even, and then like get KOs for Thanos' leadership to be relevant to break the stalemate. But I think just in general, Witnesses is such a fascinating scenario because it scores a lot if you can win both sides, but it's also really easy to force just a 2-2 split and then play entirely off the extract. And then here it's combined with a super dead extract that comes down to who can roll enough dice and find the ship core.
Yeah, and with that in mind, I do think I probably do want to go 20, because I'm gonna want Strange. It depends on who I'm, honestly, it depends again on who I'm going up against. If I was going up against, you know, the 20 point Black Order, I'd actually probably go with the Avengers 20 for that. Cap, Thor, Vision, Rider, Wong, because again, I can do those damage reflections. I'm assuming he's playing Reality Corvus, so I can't assume I'm gonna win the alien ship because he's got a better chance of doing it. So basically denying him the ability to KO characters easily is going to be crucial. So Wong's healing, Taskmaster's ability to reflect damage, Rider's ability to reflect damage, Cap pulling damage off. Like the idea would be just trying to make sure that he can't get his damage high enough for it to matter.
Yeah, so something to think about in that case, actually, though, which comes into play here, is I know Morgan doesn't take the Soul Stone in his roster, which means the prototypical Black Order 15 is Thanos with mind, Corvus with reality, Proxima, right? If you don't have any of the other one-cost gems in your roster, all of a sudden 16 is a huge pain, because essentially they have to drop one of the gems to get a two-cost into their roster. So sometimes if it's Black Order like that, it can actually be incredibly good to force them onto 16 just to, like, screw up their gem stuff. Because either you deal with gemless Thanos or you deal with realityless Corvus, either of which I think you're very happy with. Whereas opposed to 20, they'll play their typical 15 point and then just add a 5-point beater or a 3 and a 2 or something like that. There's lots of rosters that have weird pain points. I think 16 is one of the more common ones, just because up until Witnesses, nobody was really taking the Black Order secure. You are, which I find very interesting, but I think a lot of people hated the random push aspect of it, and so they stayed away from it. And so a lot of people don't prep for 16 threat in their rosters. So sometimes if you've got a good 16 threat game plan, just jamming that into somebody and making them play a really awkward getup can be really valuable.
You have 100% thought about this more than I did. I'll be honest, I was surprised to make a D-Limbs. I just kind of play what I think is like the most fun most of the time for people. So like I wouldn't think to do 16 to deny somebody. I'd rather like do 20 and have them bring their big guns. That's just me. 100% though, if you're competitive and you want to win, I would agree. Like if I was looking at this from a like another game perspective, I would be like, yeah, 100%, like go for that win. But here I'm just like, play whatever you want.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And playing to comfort can be more valuable than playing to your opponent's discomfort. Just because if you make less errors, maybe that's more valuable than making your opponent run more errors. So, and you'll be having more fun at the same time.
Yeah, that's something I'm really big on is like knowing your list. I've had people play top tier lists against me in other games and lose because they're not comfortable with it. Whereas I played like a B tier list and knew it in and out and did really well. I tell people that all the time, like play what you want, play the things that you think are interesting or fun, the combos that you like, whether or not people say they're tier zero or whatever else. I'd be more scared of facing somebody who plays like a tier two list who's played it 30 times than somebody just picked up the game and is playing a tier zero list.
Yeah. I forget who said it, but this was something that stuck with me for a while. If you aren't playing like the tier one thing that everybody's prepping for, in 90% of your games, you'll have more experience into the matchup that you're playing against your opponent than vice versa. Because like you're playing that list day in, day out, right? So odds are you probably had more of yours into theirs than theirs into yours if you're playing something semi-obscure. So,
and that's how it's felt a lot of times playing Ryder is like people have expectations about how I'm going to play him and what I'm going to do with him, and because I play him my own way, which we didn't really talk about, but like the fact that I don't bring either of his team tactics and things like that, it creates the scenario where like they don't necessarily anticipate what direction I'm going to go with literally my favorite character.
Yeah, so let's actually dig into that, because I completely skipped over that during the tactics discussion. I think everybody has gravitated towards Deal with the Devil being the better of the two, because it's essentially Age of Ultron at the cost of a body. And I can kind of tell, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you don't pick it because you're playing such compact teams that it's actually really painful to lose a character to that card.
Well, the reasoning is twofold. It's a very complex card in the sense of, like, yeah, you pay the power, you kill a character, and then there's this big incinerate bomb. And the only character in my list I'd ever feel real comfortable sacrificing is Wong. And if I sacrifice Wong, I'm not going to get the incinerate bomb 9 times out of 10. And it's very easy for them to snipe Wong to prevent me from even getting a comfortable death, like a comfortable death point for Ryder. So it's just, I feel like right now there isn't a good target. Now going forward, I do think, I'm hoping when Luke Cage drops, I have a feeling he's probably going to be either a bodyguard or he's going to have what Black Dwarf has, the intimidate effect where you pay two to force someone close to you to attack you. I'm thinking 3 threat and he's got like invulnerability or something like that. That Luke Cage, as I envision him, would be a good target for Deal with the Devil because he's somebody I can redirect a bunch of damage to. And then if Ryder dies, then I can blow up Luke Cage and feel good about it. But right now there's no 2 threat in the game that I can comfortably and consistently get off the incinerate bomb and feel great about it. Now I have Hela. I've tried doing it with Hela where you kill him to jump into Hela with 3 souls and regenerate Hela and lose nothing. It's a cool niche concept, but it's so often I'm not actually finding Ghost Riders dying. That's like the big reason I cut it is I had it, I think, in my initial roster and I cut it for Marked for Death. Ghost Rider just doesn't die the way that I run him. He's not going up against Thor. He's not going up against other 5s. He's going up against 2 3s and he's winning most times. So he doesn't need to regenerate because he's busy just bringing that pain.
Yeah, and especially once you've got bodyguard support for him, he's basically never going to go down. And honestly, it's not worth your opponent's time to focus him down when there's juicier targets abound. But no Highway to Hell either. I think that card seems crazy, but it's expensive, and you need a lot of other power to be able to do stuff to set it off.
I think one thing would fix it. If it was range 2 versus range 1, I'd be fine with it. 100%, I'd actually include it. Yeah. My biggest problem, and people are always talking about how, like, oh, it takes like 1 action to pull off, it's real good. It actually takes 2 in my eyes.
Move up.
No one is going to. Well, yeah, no one's ever going to move within 1 of me just because, especially if I have that card. Like, I have to take an action to get there, take an action to get back, and pay the power for the card. It's a lot of opportunity cost. If it was range 2, suddenly it's like, oh, you went with Thor and you decided you were going to, you know, for Asgard me. That's cool. Now I'll drag you back. Or, oh, you're playing any melee character, which is Ryder's biggest weakness are melee characters, right? If it was range 2, that's where all our strikes are. Suddenly Ryder now has a good response to a melee character coming up to him. If they want to fix that card, that was literally I've suggested the errata multiple times, like just saying, hey, this is what you do. And that card becomes really good. It's not an auto pick by any means. It's not broken, I don't think. I think it's just at that point it becomes playable.
Yeah. Now that'd be interesting to see. I doubt they're going to do balance errata on tactics cards, but that would be a reasonable one to me.
I wish, but I know realistically, especially what they've said about the competitive side of this game, I highly doubt those things will be a high priority.
Yeah, and I enjoy the level of competitive play. The game's surprisingly well balanced. It plays well to a technical level, but I think they're definitely towing a line with how competitive the game will get. I know a lot of people love to meme over the Guild Ball cancellation letter, where they basically said that competitive players killed their game, and that it was really the community's fault for them canceling the game. But at least from my experience with War Machine and from watching X-Wing and some of the other really tight games, if there's that much of a difference between veterans and newer players on the board, it actually becomes... toxic isn't quite the right word, but it becomes very difficult to onboard new players because of how easy it is for vets to just snap new players' necks. And something that Crisis Protocol does really well is I think a veteran can reliably win against a newer player, but it feels even the whole time. And if some crazy dice spike goes off, then all bets are out the window.
Yeah, I think the only thing I think... There's two things about the competitive scene I'm not a huge like fan of in terms of like getting going up against new players. The control lists are very controlly. Web Warriors and Wakanda for a new player are very, very hard to deal with because of just the amount of times they move you and they don't feel like they're doing anything. But then you get to that scoring phase and they're like, oh, I didn't get like 8 points. And your opponent's like, yeah, I got like 6.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is a 16-point game. I'm going to lose in 3 turns. And, like, I've seen new players kind of get, like, I tell people at my local store, don't play Wakanda or Web Warriors, like, your first game if you're playing against somebody, like, new. Play something like Asgard or Black Order. That's a beater list. Yeah,
something that's punchy, not pushy. More fun.
Yeah, it's more fun for them. That, and I don't love the fact that you automatically win priority when you roll off. There are times where I would have chosen to lose priority in games. And that's just a kind of a mentality I have. I like reacting to what people do a lot of times.
Yeah.
So that as a competitive thing, like if we ever do get to like full on like convention tournaments, that would be something I would recommend for the tournament docket is if you win that roll off, you get to pick. It's a very simple thing, but it's just something that irks me that you don't get the choice.
Yeah. There's definitely times where both players want the exact opposite of what happens. Like, the person with priority doesn't want it, and the person who doesn't have it wants it. So, like, why not just let them both have what they want? But, okay. Enough tangent. Let's get back to scenario discussion with the brawliest scenario I think I've ever seen. Montesi Formula plus Gamma Wave sweeps across Midwest. So here you're playing 17 or 15. No information about the opposing team. But you're playing on a vertical column, and you're just here to kill. What's your go-to here?
That's my 17 right there. That's my Soul Strange Rider Wong vision. Wong is going to sit in the back. Soul Strange is going to sit 2 in front of him. Vision's going to sit right around where Strange is sitting, and Rider's going to go threaten the back objective. I've played that particular set of scenarios multiple times, and it is the only one out of Gamma Shelters where I feel confident I'll beat Wakanda. Is that lineup right there. Cause it's so hard to deal with. Getting me off the center is not easy. And having Ryder being in the back, like I've had him go up against Okoye Shuri in the back and he wins. So like your opponent has to throw something else back there. And at 17, they can't afford to throw something else in the back line.
Yeah, that definitely shakes out. I play a lot of low points Gamma Force with Cabal MODOK, which ends up being a very similar game where I'm not here to play scenario, like I'll win scenario if I'm winning attrition because I just keep on bowing people around, but I'm really here to fight, and I think Wakanda can really hate that if you take them out of their comfort zone. Finally, we've got another super murder scenario. This is probably the second most murdery scenario in the game, scenario combination in the game. This is Hammers plus Demons Downtown. So everyone has bonus dice to their attacks. Everyone has less defense dice. You can play this at 18 or 19. What's your ideal threat value here?
So I think this is another one where it's really dependent on team composition, but I think maybe the 19 is the Soul Strange Rider Thor Taskmaster combo. Because again, you've got 3 beaters who are going to take hammers. And I guess you're basically relying on Taskmaster to hold down one of the portals, like in the early game at least, because he doesn't mind getting the damage so much. But this is definitely a scenario I think my list would struggle with, just as it's built.
Which is ironic, because both halves of it are yours, so anyone could kind of drop this into you by taking the opposite half.
You know, now that I think about it, this actually might be the best scenario to go pure Asgard. Go Thor, Hela, Loki, Rider. Now that I'm looking at it a little more, this actually might be the scenario where the pure Asgard list is probably best.
Yeah, that especially does still have a ton of down. Turn, not your turn, on Thor's leadership. So even if they have priority, you get to shake someone on their turn, then on your turn, do it, and then just like proceed. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I think as I think about it more, I think that's actually where I would go. I'd go the A team with Thor, Hela, Loki, Rider. 100%. Now that we're talking about it, it's on
each of your turns. Sorry, I'm crazy. It's been a while since I played proper Asgard.
It's still really good though. Because you can, I think at that point you put Hela. I don't know if you even care about your back objective, honestly. I think you go straight in for them. Like maybe the first turn you go for the back objective, but like after that, I think you just swarm the middle and their safe objective. Because you're just such a like close up beatdown list. You just want to put constant pressure on your opponent.
Yeah, if you've got Wong, he's fine on the home portal, whatever. Because you're going to be so far down their throat that if they ever get to him, you're probably already losing anyways.
True.
But let's move it on.
Restricted to Rider, we'll say Thor, Hela, Loki, Wong, Taskmaster on that on 18. That would be really good as well. 100%. But given my Rider predilection, I think Thor, Hela, Loki, Rider is the way I would go.
Okay, let's take it into the final segment. So these are going to be potential changes for the roster. Starting with characters, the first thing that stands out to me, I really want Valkyrie here.
So do I.
The number one cut to me, Hela. You're very rarely playing Asgard. And you're never splashing her as your four. You're always taking Vision over her. It sounds like you'd even take Loki over her. So I would put her in there. I would almost replace Taskmaster with her. But Taskmaster is the glue for a lot of your Avengers lists. So I don't think cutting Taskmaster is tenable here. I think you turn Hela into Valkyrie. And it opens up a lot of interesting lines.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. There's also an argument to be made for cutting Cap. If you don't want to go for like a triple affiliation,
give up
and putting
Avengers entirely, that would also be a good option because then that turns you into pure.
I think it makes it much weaker against Black Order, honestly, because you don't have like that super tank build that can really just out-sustain Black Order. So I do agree. I think Hela for Valkyrie was the way to go. I think Hela was kind of just a holdover from when I was trying to regenerate Ryder. And I kept thinking that she had some niche application. But after I played a couple games with this particular build, I was like, oh God, I wish I had Valkyrie back. She's so much more flexible.
Yeah. Okay. Next, tactics. I am still not sold on extreme conditioning. I am still convinced that climbing gear is just straight up better than extreme conditioning. The double move trick is nice, but with climbing gear, if you ever do a single move, climbing gear is going to be better in literally all cases, because I don't think you have a single slow mover on your team. And it works outside of activation.
Because I honestly don't remember.
Climbing gear is you pay 2 or 3. I'll double check that. You immediately advance short and have wall crawler for the rest of the round. So it's essentially a tactical analysis you can do on yourself.
So I'm thinking about it just like as a free short, basically. I mean, that is a lot of reposition power for Ryder. Wall crawler is kind of irrelevant to him because there's not a lot he can't go over at size 3. But yeah, no, it's not bad. Though that said,
so honestly, it costs one more than extreme conditioning, but as long as you're only doing a single move, it's always going to be better in terms of raw distance.
Right. Oh. I don't know if I'd cut it for that. I might even cut Avengers Assemble for that. Like, I only have 3 Avengers in my list, and most Avengers lists I'm, or most Avengers builds I'm doing only include 2 of them.
That's entirely fair then. Then you can just have a three cost only works on a single character Avengers Assemble with a bit of upside.
Yeah, I feel like that. I almost feel like that's I would swap out at that point, because I don't think I've actually used Avengers Assemble. Even when I was playing Avengers, it felt weird to have, and I almost never played it. I was holding it, but I never actually used it. I also feel like there's some weird plays you could do with like Asgard with that, with like maybe sibling rivalry, where you like throw Loki and then like pull him back or something weird like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of cute little tricks with climbing gear that Avengers Assemble just can't do because it's Avengers only. So that's definitely a route to go, especially if you're looking to downsize your Avengers contingent. Finally, we've got crises. And so the standout to me here, I know you said you don't want to play Gamma into Wakanda. I think you still put it in here, because I think you're happy playing Demons into Wakanda if you end up having to pick Secure and you get Demons and Gamma. You can just play Demons and you're happy with that. And I think with how brawly you are, forcing people into that vertical column shape against other things is really powerful. And since you play so forwards, you have a strong game plan to hold the middle, which means you're going to get a 2 VP per round disparity on the Secure side, assuming everything goes right. So as long as you aren't more than 1 VP per round behind on extracts, you come out ahead while fighting the whole time.
Now, what would you cut in favor, just out of curiosity?
Leaning towards Infinity Formula. I do not love Infinity Formula.
Honestly, that was a more of a comfy pick. Like, I can't disagree with what you're saying. Like, I do think on a more competitive aspect of it, that probably was the correct choice. The only reason I played Infinity was because I was comfy on it.
Yeah, it's nice to get the bonus power. I think in general, I don't love the B scenarios, because I've been abusing MODOK so much, and the range 4 has some problematic interactions with the distances on B. But yeah, I think Infinity Formula is kind of the standout cut for Gamma here. But I think your extracts are solid, and I think you're pretty happy with Demons Downtown or Cosmic Invasion. So it's kind of take it or leave it on Gamma, but I think having the double E force in your tool belt is pure upside.
Yeah, it's definitely something to consider. I think I'd have to practice more on Gamma to feel as comfy, but it is from a competitive standpoint, like I said, I do think that's probably the better choice.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ways you can go with this, but I mean, again, I think these secures are okay. You can leave them just fine, and I think you wouldn't see significantly worse performance for it. It's just a bit of an upside. But with that, I think that's going to wrap us up. Before we say goodbye to the listeners, do you have anything you want to shout out or plug?
Yeah, so as I've said a little bit in this is not my primary game. I'm primarily a Star Wars Legion player, and I am a member of Team Relentless. I highly recommend, if anyone's interested in getting that, search for Team Relentless on YouTube. My teammate, Membueha, also known as Ben, makes some great videos. We are looking into doing like buying guides for the holidays, stuff like that. So if you're interested in getting into the game, there's some new stuff that's been announced. And you're a big Star Wars buff, I highly recommend that you come check us out.
Yeah, and that'll be in the show notes for everyone listening. And I'll definitely check that out, because I've been on the fence with Legion for a while, so we'll see. I almost bought into it last year as a Christmas present to myself, and then I didn't. Maybe this will be the year.
What faction were you thinking about playing?
That's where it gets so hard. I could see myself playing basically anything except for Empire.
Oh, you wound me. You wound me so bad.
I don't mind Empire. It's just everybody I know locally who would be playing after COVID lifts has Empire. So, like, I don't want to be, like, the nth guy at my store whipping out his stormtroopers, right? I want to do something a little bit different, but we'll see.
I don't know. The more glossy white armor I see on the table, the happier I am.
well, maybe I'll split the difference and play clones.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing that.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to be it for us here at Roster Doctor. Thank you very much for coming on, Faustine. And to all of our listeners, thank you for listening and have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me. Bye.